I invite you to Luke chapter 2. We're going to step away from our study through Matthew, and we're going to look at some passages around the birth narratives and the early childhood days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and expectation of celebrating His birth on Christmas. So we're looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you do not have your own Bible, we have Bibles in our vestibule here and also located in all of our overflow areas. And we would love for you to pick up a copy today as our gift to you. If you're able, would you please stand in honor of the reading of this portion of Scripture? And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Thank you. Christmas according to Simeon. Christmas according to Simeon. Let's pray together and ask for the Lord to help us today as we look to His Word together. Father, we come before your presence this morning, and Lord, our hearts are full of all kinds of emotions, Lord. Today we grieve with those who are grieving, and yet we rejoice with full expectation and hope. In fact, the very season that we've entered into reminds us of why we as your people, as followers of Christ, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, why we can have and hold so much faith and hope and joy in tumultuous times and in heartbreaking and tragic events of life. Christmas really does bring a message of joy beyond all things, hope beyond all things, because Christmas brings us Christ. So we are very thankful, Lord, for the opportunity this morning that we can once again be reminded of through your precious word what Christmas is truly all about and how we can enter into this season as your people and truly celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. and all that you have done for us in him, and all that awaits us in him, and all that is for us in him. There truly is so much more to Christmas than what sometimes we make it. So Lord, help us, Lord, to see and to believe and to embrace and to live as people who truly know Christmas. And we're going to give you the glory for how you speak and how you move in our lives today and how you build your church for your glory. And it's in Christ's name we do pray all of this. Amen. Now, Simeon's not one of those go-to characters around the birth narrative and the very early childhood of Christ. We usually look to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and the angels and the angelic choir. And all of those things are wonderful and deserve our attention and study and celebration. All of those play a prominent role in announcing and rejoicing and following and believing in the Lord's first coming. But sometimes those who play maybe kind of a secondary role are deserving of our time and attention as well. They don't share the spotlight. They were not gathered around the manger on that night, but they are certainly those in which we see the light of the Savior shining in their own unique way. And maybe we might find ourselves actually more in common, things more in common with some of these other extended characters in the scriptures than those who play those primary roles. It's hard to identify with Joseph, who was in the father role of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to sometimes identify with Mary, who was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Simeon, we're able to identify with him, maybe more so than the others. Simeon was filled with this anxious hope awaiting that first Christmas. And we're often filled with an anxious and an eager waiting for Christmas to arrive. We look forward for Christmas, even in this unusual year. In fact, you see, more people, I think, are more excited about Christmas this year than, I don't know, in several years. I mean, Christmas trees started going up in September, it seemed like. People were ready for Christmas. We're eager for Christmas. We look forward to being able at some level to be with family and friends in this unusual year and to give and to receive gifts. So we're filled, just like Simeon was, filled with joy about Christmas. But Simeon helps us in an even greater way, doesn't he? Simeon helps draw our attention and our focus back to the true meaning of Christmas. The gift that Simeon so hopefully and anxiously anticipated was the gift of the Messiah. The gift of a promise fulfilled. The gift of the arrival of the one who is so long awaited. And the joy that caused Simeon to break out in song, if you see here in verses 29 through 32, when the Bible says he took Christ up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, well, it's really written poetically. It's almost like he sang. He erupted in song. And that the joy that caused such a response from Simeon is the arrival of salvation. That's what caused him to rejoice. Christmas, according to Simeon, is the story of what Christmas is truly, really all about. You know, it's It is possible in our day we are living in an increasingly secular society. It's possible to celebrate Christmas and totally miss Christmas. It's possible to go through the entire season and hear many Christmas songs, but never hear Christmas carols. Now, that won't happen if you come here on Sundays. It's possible to enjoy all the festive lights and never regard the light that has come into the world. To enjoy decorating an evergreen tree and never ponder everlasting life through Christ. To participate in special, meaningful gatherings. And fail to rejoice in that final, coming, eternal gathering of God's family made possible through Christ. It's possible to feast without the thought of the one who provides us all good things. It's possible to enjoy gifts without acknowledging the greatest gift. As incredible as it sounds, it's even possible in our day and time to celebrate Christmas and never call it Christmas. But Simeon reminds us and he calls us back to what this season is about, to what Christmas means, to what is at the heart of Christmas. So it's good for us today. It's good for us to have an Advent season, to slow down, to take note as we are getting ready and have already entered into a busy time. It's always a busy time leading up to Christmas. It's almost as if we have done everything we possibly can to distract ourselves as much as we possibly can from really worshiping and pondering and taking joy in what Christmas is about. It's good for us to stop this morning, take a look into Scripture, see Simeon, and remember Christmas according to Simeon. The first thing I want us to see in verses 22 through 28 is Simeon's Christmas preparation. This is good, and this is what Advent really means, preparing our hearts and preparing for the arrival of Christ, preparing for Christmas. Well, this is Simeon's, in verses 22 through 28, we kind of see Simeon's Advent, his waiting for the arrival of Christ. And the first thing we notice about Simeon as we read these verses is that his preparation was both a self-preparation and a spirit preparation. First of all, let's see how he was himself preparing for the Lord's promise to be fulfilled. In verse 25, the scripture says that this man was righteous. This man was righteous. And when Scripture describes people as righteous, it's talking, there's two different categories of righteousness. There is a positional righteousness that we have before God in Christ. When we embrace Christ as Savior, His righteousness is credited to our account. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We stand declared justified before the Lord in Christ, in the righteousness of Christ. But there's also a righteousness that is spoken of in terms of our living for the Lord, our living out of our faith. Our righteousness in that sense is right living. How we are loving our neighbor, doing good to others. And I believe this is the sense of righteous in describing Simeon. It's referring to his reputation. It's referring to his witness, his character, how he was known by others. He was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. They would think of Simeon and they would think a man living for the Lord, a man living to the Lord. He was righteous. Secondly, the Bible says he was devout. In other words, Simeon had given himself to the things of God. He had not neglected the ordinary means of grace. Simeon was a man of the Word of God. That's why he's waiting and anticipating God to fulfill His promise. He was a man of the Word. He was a man of prayer. And we see him speaking and communicating with the Lord right here in this passage. He was a man who worshiped among the people of God. We find him here in the temple. He was a devout man. He had a priority on the things of God. He exemplified a holiness. He resisted temptations. He was devout. He was the kind of believer that other believers would look to and desire to imitate. He loved others. He was righteous. He loved the Lord. He was devout. And the third thing we see about him as he's preparing for Christmas is he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he was waiting for deliverance. He was waiting for salvation. He was waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. Simeon's priorities were in order. His hope was, he was not placing his hope in anything earthly. He was placing his hope in things eternal. He was not placing his hope in himself. He was placing his hope in the Lord. He was not placing his hope in what he could achieve or accomplish or acquire. He was placing his hope in what the Lord would do and how the Lord would fulfill. The desire of his heart was the Messiah. Simeon knew that all else pales in comparison to ultimate complete deliverance. That's what he was waiting for. The consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the fullness of time. He was waiting for God to move. He was waiting for the believers to be saved. The Bible says here the Holy Spirit was upon him. So we see he was preparing in himself, but also we see the Spirit was preparing him. And actually that explains a lot of his preparation, because the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now we know the root of and the source of Simeon's righteous, devout character and why he's longing and anticipating salvation, because the Spirit's at work within him. So he's not, these things of his righteous and devout character and his waiting for the consolation of Israel, these are not things that Simeon is doing. These are not works that he's doing to kind of try to make himself right with God, to pile up some good things on the good side of the scales. These were works that were flowing from his life. This was who he was because the Spirit of God was at work within him. He wasn't trying to make himself right with God by doing these things. He was right with God, and therefore he was doing these things. He was being compelled to righteousness. He was being compelled to devote himself to the Lord. He was being compelled to wait upon the Lord. Not from religion, but from a relationship. Simeon is a wonderful example to us of what Paul exhorts us to in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Remember, Paul says there, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God was preparing Simeon for Christmas. And therefore, Simeon was preparing for Christmas. That's kind of the synopsis of the Christian life. God works in us for His glory, and therefore we work for His glory. In fact, God was at work, and Simeon was at work so much in his life that the Lord had revealed a special insight to Simeon. God had revealed to him, he was waiting, he was walking with the Lord and waiting for the Lord to fulfill His promise with such strong desire and anticipation that the Lord had revealed to him, before you depart this life, before you leave this world and enter into everlasting life, he would see what he had longed to see. Simeon's preparation brings us to the question, how are we preparing for Christ coming? Just as Simeon was longing for the Christ to appear, we find ourselves really in terms of the second coming in the same situation. How are we longing for Christ to appear? How is God at work in us, causing us to be at work for God? How are we loving God? How are we loving neighbor? How are we longing for Christ? Now we may say, wait a minute, we're no Simeon. But know what the Bible says about Simeon. Note what the Bible says there in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. There was a man in Jerusalem. The Bible really doesn't mention anything about his office, his role, his status, his standing. Mentions his relationship with the Lord, but it doesn't really give us any context other than here's a man and his name happens to be Simeon. In other words, just ordinary. That's just like us. Simeon's path of preparation is our path of preparation. And the final thing about Simeon's preparation is that because he was waiting, because he was walking with the Lord, it enabled him to not miss out on what he was longing to see. He didn't miss Christmas. He didn't miss Christmas. In fact, he absorbed and he soaked in the full impact. Look at verse 27. And he came in the Spirit. You see that? He's walking with the Lord. He's preparing, and therefore the Lord is preparing him and getting him ready. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he was right there. All of this preparation led to fruition. He was right there with God's promise. All of the hoping, all of the waiting, all of the believing, all of the praying, all of it was answered in that one moment. Simeon saw Jesus. And he knew it was Jesus. And he believed in him. The consolation had arrived. I pray that we in this season and in this unusual time, that we also feel and believe and know the full weight and the full effect of Christmas this year, just as Simeon did 2,000 years ago. Salvation has come. And all of his expectation and all of his hope was wrapped up in that one promise to be fulfilled, that God would send his son so that Israel would be saved. So the despairing are no longer left in their despair. The empty are no longer left in their void. Sinners are no longer left in their sin. Now there is hope. Now there is life. Now there is forgiveness. Now there is the consolation of Israel. The consolation has come. Everything that we need has been provided. It's been given at Christmas. Simeon's Christmas preparation. And then secondly, we see Simeon's Christmas proclamation in verses 29 through 32. His song. Notice Simeon's identification of God's salvation. And back in verse 27, he sees the child Jesus. And there in verse 28, he takes him up in his arms. And then in verse 30, he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon identified God's salvation in a person. Not in a work, not in a place, but in a person. Not just any person, but a specific person. This child, Jesus. And even more than a specific, the specific person of Jesus, when Simeon sees him, Christ here is 8 days old. Imagine this. He's 8 days old. Imagine Simeon knowing that you need to be saved, that you need to be delivered, that God has promised, and then looking upon a helpless little baby and with all confidence and certain faith proclaiming, "This child is my salvation." Simeon's proclamation. It doesn't make sense if you look at it in terms of the world, does it? And from a human perspective, it doesn't make sense. I need to be saved, and so I'm going to look to this little baby to save me. It doesn't make sense unless everything about this child is exactly what God has promised. Unless this child happens to be the Son of God, born in the flesh. Nothing makes sense about placing your faith and your hope and your fulfillment of consolation in a little baby unless that little baby came from heaven. And notice that Simeon's proclamation is not the only proclamation, not the only preparation in this text. While God has been preparing Simeon, he's also been preparing his salvation of Simeon in the sending of his own son. You see there in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." God has been at work. God has been at work in the entirety of the world, in the entirety of history, and it is all centered down, it has all fallen into the life of this one man in Jerusalem named Simeon. And that's how God works in our lives. God's plan of the gospel of salvation is global. The message is to go to the ends of the earth. And yet we here have it and hold it and celebrate it and rejoice in it. Our eyes have seen his salvation. Notice the extent of God's purpose in verses 31 and 32 that your salvation that you have prepared, this is God's work. This is God's salvation. You have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. All peoples, Gentile and Israel, God, you have prepared this. This is in your timing. You have fulfilled your promise. You have sent your consolation. This is your salvation. And Simeon, proclaiming Christmas, is himself one of those for whom Christ came to save. Simeon's song is nothing other than the gospel. Christmas, according to Simeon, is the gospel. You have sent your salvation. You have prepared it all. And it is for all peoples. And it begins right here with the birth of this little child. It's the gospel. The gospel promised in the Old Testament is the gospel realized in the New Testament. What the Old Testament had promised and Simeon was believing in and waiting for, he was now in the New Testament time living and believing and seeing and holding. Holding in his own arms. The Savior awaited is now the Savior arrived. The gospel is the meaning of Christmas. It's a good thing that we're having Missions Day next Sunday. The gospel is the meaning of Christmas. That Christ came and his message is for all peoples to the ends of the earth. That's why we take up the International Mission Board offering, Lottie Moon Christmas offering during this time. Because the Christmas is the gospel. It's about the gospel. Salvation has come. And it is for all peoples. The gospel is at the heart. And finally, we see Simeon's Christmas revelation in verses 33 through verse 35. Simeon reveals something. Simeon knows something about what is going to transpire as this child grows and becomes a man and begins his ministry and carries out his mission, accomplishes God's salvation that is for all peoples, Gentile and Jew. And he reveals that. He shares that. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. And that was fulfilled, of course, when she looked upon her own son dying there on the cross. So that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. When God reveals his salvation in Christ, we are revealed. When the gospel is revealed to us, proclaimed to us, preached to us, shared with us, when the gospel is revealed to us, it reveals us. He is appointed for the fall and the rising of many. How we respond to God's revelation reveals much about our relation to God. Now, here's where we can really bring home personal application. What do we do with Christmas? In what or in whom do we rejoice? For Simeon, that Christ was born, gave so much meaning and so much joy to his life that he's ready to die a happy man. Christ has come. Salvation is here. God has fulfilled his promise. Now I can go home to glory. It's done. His life was so wrapped up in longing for Christ that once he saw him, he believed his life was full and complete. Once his eyes saw Christ, his life was full and complete. There was nothing else to wait for. Nothing else that he needed. It was not Christ plus something. It was just Christ. But for others, that Jesus is the Christ of Christmas, that means nothing at all, or that is absolutely, utterly despised, or even opposed. How we respond to Christmas reveals our relation. How we respond to the gospel reveals our relation to God. So our prayer is that our Christmas would be as Simeon's. Christmas is about Christ. Christmas is about the gospel. Christmas is about everlasting life. Christmas is about the good news. Christmas is about eternal life in Christ. When we look in the manger, may we see the Messiah. When we look at the child, may we see the Christ. That's Christmas according to Simeon. I'm reminded of one of the often watched movies in during this time, the Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, the book, the movies. And after Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, had encountered those three Christmas spirits, it was said of him that he really knew how to keep Christmas. Well, I don't think we need three Christmas spirits, but we do need the Holy Spirit, as Simeon did. And according to Simeon, after we see Christ, that's when we know how to truly keep Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we can't imagine on this side of the cross really what it meant to be waiting. O come, Emmanuel. We really can't imagine longing for your word of promise to become true. However, Father, we can sense that same longing even in our day. Sometimes we look upon the landscape, sometimes we look upon life, we look upon this world, and we look to the promises that you've given in your word of your eternal kingdom and of Christ's return and righting every wrong and establishing justice and reigning from the throne of David. And we cry as the apostle cried, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Father, you are good for your promises. And just as Christ came, Christ will return. Christmas is about promises fulfilled. So we love you, we praise you, and we ask God that in this season and in this time that our hearts would be filled with Christ more than ever before. For He is our hope. He is our salvation. Lord, do a work in our lives even this day, even in this moment, as we respond to your word. Help us to have a Christmas like Simeon. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch, P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.